This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today coming to you after a frustrating Phillies loss, but a hell of a game. We'll get into it. I'm your host, James Seltzer, as we come off a 13-inning extravaganza last night as the Phillies fall 2-1 in Boston to the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox, the best team in baseball with an insane now 75-33 record. The Phillies falling to 58-48. Unfortunately, the Atlanta Braves prevail over the Marlins, who the Phillies will see later this week, winning 5-3. The Braves now just a half game back of the Phillies, sitting there at one game up actually in the loss column as well for the Braves, a couple games in hand. So the Phillies, a frustrating loss, but look, they played real tough. Let's dive into it. Coming up also, of course, we will get into it. It is trade deadline day. One of my favorite days on the sports calendar. Granted, we've seen a lot more August trades as of late before the waivers trade deadline. Of course, the non-waiver trade deadline, 4 p.m. today, as we have obviously seen a flurry of action already. But just a fun day to see the moves and what happens before the deadline. I do believe the Phillies will make a move or two before the 4 p.m. deadline. We will see how it plays out, but first, let's take a look at last night's wild game, and then we'll dive into all the other stuff and look at, of course, tonight's game two of the two games set in Boston before the Phillies. An off day on Wednesday, first off day in a while. 12 games straight without an off day, and then they'll head home to face the Marlins. But we'll get into all that. Last night, starting at the top, first and foremost, fun to see the Phillies on ESPN, on a national platform. I know we've seen that a couple times this season, but in a spot against the best team in baseball, and they go in there and they played tough the entire game. First and foremost, Aaron Nola was absolutely outstanding. You talk about Aaron Nola being the stopper, Aaron Nola being the guy that this team can count on when they're running bad or whatever, someone who could just stop a losing streak. And granted, that's where they were at, three-game losing streak after the three in Cincinnati, and Nola did literally everything in his power to try and stop that streak, unable, sadly, to do so as a result of an offensive showing that was poor. And of course, honestly, the only run that Aaron Nola let up, shouldn't have been let up, is Odubel Herrera just misplays a ball in center field. It was just a frustrating thing to watch. And look, it happens. Odubel has made so many outstanding plays in center field so far this season, taking away so many would-be hits, would-be home runs, that you have to forgive the man when he makes this type of error. But it certainly was a bummer of a play as he misplayed a ball, ran forward, and the ball went over his head. But the Phillies unfortunately fall, but Nola was just dynamite. Again, talking about a national stage where there might be a few more eyes on him against the Red Sox on ESPN, Nola had every little bit of his arsenal working, eight dominant innings, and Kapler really trusting him in the eighth inning allows him to stay in against the top of the order, allows a leadoff double, and Nola is able to stay and get a pop out. He gets a huge strikeout of Mookie Betts before getting Benintendi to fly out. Kapler trusting him in that spot. It was over 100 pitches right there during that inning in that point. And another time where, you know, of course, the first game of the season keeps being brought up over and over again. But since then, Kapler has really shown that he's trusted Nola in a lot of those situations. Nola rewarded him in that spot. And Nola just, again, I can't emphasize how good he looked last night. If you didn't get a chance to see the game, his stuff was moving all over the place, and he had such control of it and just pounding the strike zone with unhittable pitches. It was really just an outstanding showing. Weak contact all around. Again, the only run he gave up was a well-hit ball, but Odubel Herrera just overplayed it, ran in and was caught on flat-footed, and the ball sailed right over. He jumped and he tried to recover, but he couldn't get back in time, went over his head. That's how the tying run scored. And then even then, Nola able to work out of that jam caused by that. It was terrific there. But unable to get the Phillies a win because of that. And also because the offense, unable to get anything going. They got hot early, score quick. In the second inning, Mike Calfranco singles in as Drubal Cabrera with a big hit there and a 1-0 lead. But the Phillies had another opportunity early. Base running gaff killed them as Hoskins on third base. First and third, Odubel on first, and a grounder to third, Santana to grounder, and charging in, the third baseman is charging in, and Hoskins is charging at to home plate, and he realizes at a certain point that he's not going to beat the throw, so he kind of holds up, but Odubel is charging around, and it almost looked like Hoskins decided to try and get into a rundown and try and get Odubel to third, so he's waving Odubel around to third, and Odubel should have been headier in that spot, should have been paying attention more. They both should have. But ultimately, what ended up happening was Odubel gets tagged out at third, and then they still have Hoskins in a rundown between third and home. It was just a disastrous situation, and look, ultimately, it cost the Phillies, because that run could have been the difference. Obviously, you never know what happens if it's a 2-1 game, and the Red Sox are playing differently, whatever, but theoretically, that could have been a game-winning play there if they had done it. Unfortunately, it doesn't work out. The Phillies bullpen really holds up well after Nola leaves. Sir Anthony gets the job done in the ninth. They head to the 10th. Rhys Hoskins with a terrific at-bat in the 10th to work a walk. Odubel works a four-pitch walk, first and second with Santana up, and then a ground out to third base. Very frustrating. As a quick out there, and the Phillies out of the inning there. Pat Neshek comes in the bottom of the 10th, gets the first two outs, but then gives up a double, and then Tommy Hunter comes in, and Tommy Hunter gets Blake Swihart to fly out. Hunter, a terrific night, also stays in the 11th after the 11th after the Phillies are unable to get anything done in the top of the 11th, and Tommy Hunter faces the heart, as it is at least, you know, being the top three hitters, but what is really the best three hitters in the lineup for those Red Sox, faces Betts, Benintendi, Jaden Martinez, goes ground out, ground out, ground out. Tommy Hunter looking terrific last night, has looked better and better as of late. That is certainly a boon for a potential run here. On to the 12th, Cesar works a two-out walk after Joe Kelly gets the first two outs. Reese unable to capitalize, grounds out. Bottom of the 12th, Austin Davis comes in, and he is terrific. Strikeout, ground out, ground out. Quick inning for him. On to the 13th, Odubel works a leadoff walk, but then the Phillies unable to capitalize for a couple batters. Really frustrating couple of bats as Santana and Estrubel both K. Both strike out there. You can't strike out there. You got to lead off walk. You got to do something to get an inning going. Get Odubel over to second. Do something. They both strike out. And then that incredibly frustrating there. And then Knapp flies out. Franco with a single first and second. Two out now. But then Knapp flies out to end the threat. And then we head to the bottom of the 13th. And that was all she wrote as Davis stays in, gives us a single. Luis Garcia enters, stolen base. Garcia gets a huge strikeout, but then Blake Swihart rips a double, a ground rule double. Eduardo Nunez able to come around and score, and that was all she wrote for the Phillies last night in Boston. Again, they lose it 2-1 in 13 innings, just their second extra innings loss of the season. They've played really well in those situations, but look, they lost to the best team in baseball. They're 75-33. It's insane. So the Phillies at 58-48 now on the season, a half game up in the Braves, so time to right the ship. They are in a four-game losing streak now after losing the last three in Cincinnati and then losing this one in Boston last night. A again, a terrific game. It was fun to watch. It was fun to be involved in, you know, kind of swings back and forth. You felt good about where the Phillies were at. It was one of those games where while they lost and it's frustrating, the offense couldn't get going nearly enough. Rhys Hoskins had a couple hits, Odubel a couple hits, Struble a couple hits, Franco a couple hits, but nothing really able to string anything together, and obviously not a lot of runners in scoring position that were capitalized on. But despite the loss, it was one of those games where it felt really good to care as much as I did about a Phillies game at the end of July. It was awesome because I was invested in every pitch, in every swing, in every moment of that game for 13 innings. No matter how tired I was staying up for the end of that game, and it just felt fun. It felt fun to remember what that feels like when the Phillies are relevant and when they're playing big games and on a big stage playing a really good Boston team, the best team in baseball, handily record-wise, that to see the Phillies hold their own and really compete and give us that type of exciting back-and-forth affair that went 13 innings. And granted, you know, didn't go the way we wanted, but certainly a fun game to watch. And despite obviously the outcome, and again, I think the biggest takeaway for anyone watching that game was, oh wow, Aaron Nola is awesome. It, you know, all the Boston fans, all the national people who are watching the ESPN Monday Night game, who just watched Aaron Nola for the first time, are going to come away saying, oh, he's legit. That dude is totally legit, because that's what he was. He was totally legit. He looked awesome. The stuff was just awesome. And again, gave up a run that really wasn't his fault and worked out of some really tight jams, did a really great job in those spots, got strikeouts when he needed them, able to work out leadoff double in the eighth, just a really nice job of pitching there again. Phillies weren't able to do that type of stuff later as they ultimately ended up losing a leadoff single and then a stolen base, unable to work out of that. But just a great outing for Nolan and a fun night for the Phillies. Unfortunately, they lose again, only half game up on the Braves, so it's getting tight. But it is time to see if the Phillies will do something to fortify this roster. Some more trades happened yesterday. Of course, the only move so far by the Phillies, the Struble Cabrera trade. Struble getting his first two hits as a Philly last night. I think we've all discussed that, as I think it seems like most people very fairly positive on the Struble Cabrera trade. I think some people like Franklin Quilome more than others, but regardless, I think Struble Cabrera, the type of guy that this team needed to add, and I think a lot of people can agree with that, an infielder who you can trust to play multiple positions or be a part of the bench or whatever. So I think Struble is going to help this team, and I think he should play out of Kingery in a lot of spots, potentially more than the other two guys, but I think he'll spell everyone up there. But I think they do have other spots that they could add, and we've talked about that. I think they need an outfielder. I think they need a relief pitcher. It wouldn't hurt me if they got a starting pitcher. So I think there's some stuff they can do. Coming up, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the moves that got made yesterday and look at what the landscape of the trade deadline looks like, as we are just mere hours away from the trade deadline, at least the non-waivers trade deadline for the 2018 baseball season. So we'll get into that coming up. Look at some of the guys still there for the Phillies. What might happen? And last night, a particularly big name rumored to potentially be available. It was said he wasn't going to be. It looks like he might be. We'll talk about that coming up as well. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We are coming right back. We are back, Phillies Today. James Seltzer, as again, we come off a frustrating loss last night, but still a fun game to watch. And the Phillies held their own on a national stage tonight. Jake Arrieta against Drew Pomeranz. Pomeranz, certainly a very hittable left-hander for the Red Sox. Hittable is an unfair thing to say. He is prone to blow-ups, and he is also struggles with control at times. But he's actually very talented and has some swing and miss stuff. But a nice spot for the Phillies here is they were able to get into the Red Sox bullpen a fair amount last night. If they can get Pomeranz to throw a lot of pitches, that's what they like to do. He is a bit of a nibbler. I think a nice matchup. We'll get into that coming up. Is also Arrieta, of course, coming off a solid outing and hopefully the big gameness of it all maybe have a rise to the occasion, but it is trade deadline day, as this is when it gets real. It is finally time. All that we've talked about, it's now's the time. Of course, teams can still make moves until August 31st, the non-waivers, the waivers deadline, but harder obviously to make a move because of waivers and all that. So, a few moves made yesterday. Lance Lynn gets traded to the Yankees. The Yankees continue to fortify that rotation. Looking to just, you know, I don't think Lance Lynn's starting a playoff game for the Yankees, but certainly maybe could help him get there. Also, the Astros trade for Roberto Osuna, of course, the maligned closer from the Blue Jays, who was suspended for domestic violence, and does not seem like the greatest guy, obviously, if true, but certainly an incredibly talented pitcher at a young age and has been closing games for a while. Since 21, age he was 21, and I think he's only 23 or 24 now. So a really talented get for the Astros, but obviously the off-the-field issues mar that a bit. But also going back to the Jays in the deal, it's like a throw-in. How about that Ken Giles as that trade comes full circle? Certainly Vincent Velasquez competing for the Phillies makes that an automatic win. Everything else can be thrown out the window. Nothing else really matters, but just a win there for the Phillies. As yesterday the Mariners get a pair of relievers, Zach Duke and Adam Warren. So let's start with the relievers. Then we'll get into the outfielders, as I think we can all agree the Phillies got their infielder with Struber Cabrera. And look, the starting pitchers we've talked about as well. It's Chris Archer, maybe as a controllable guy if they want to give something up. I don't think there are a ton of rentals out there who are going to be moved. So starting pitcher, maybe not as much of a viable trade option as we've discussed, but maybe something will come out of it, especially if they want to give something up for a real controllable starter. But relief pitchers, there is still a fair amount on the market, as there has been a frenzy, as we just talked about, as relief pitchers have been flying around. According to Jim Bowden yesterday, and the Mariners, of course, got a couple relievers yesterday after Bowden put this out, and the Astros get Osuna. So the Red Sox and the Phillies, huh, the team's playing the other two in this. He says Red Sox, Phillies, Astros, Mariners, quote-unquote, in on practically every reliever available, from Keela to Barraclough to Rodney to Norris to Clipper to Yates to Romo to Stammen to Parker to Conley to Diekman to Ziegler. Wow. That's a lot of names. And all those names, for what it's worth, are still on the market. Keone Keela, the Rangers closer, certainly would be a nice addition. Kyle Barraclough in Miami certainly would be a nice addition for this pen. Fernando Rodney closing in Minnesota would be a great addition for this pen, even at his age. You can't trust him all the time, but has been really good for them. Bud Norris in St. Louis, of course, the whole Mike Matheny of it all with the snitch and all that is a bit of a thing, but certainly an arm out of the bend that couldn't hurt to have. Tyler Clifford, an experienced reliever up in Toronto as well, could be had for very little, I would think. Kirby Yates, I think, would cost something. The new Padres closer after they trade Brandhan. Kirby Yates has been outstanding for a couple years now. Cost controlled. That wouldn't come cheap, but a really great player who would add to the team, at least from a reliever perspective. Sergio Romo, of course, a very experienced playoff pitcher. Craig Stammen, also in San Diego, a nice arm as well, who looks good every time I watch him pitch. Blake Parker in Los Angeles is the Angels' closer. They don't really have a ton of save opportunities, but he's pretty nasty when you watch him pitch. He's just inconsistent. Adam Conley, the lefty from the Marlins, has started him years past. A nice arm. Certainly could be worth attacking for a team that still has not had consistent production from lefty arms on an every night basis. Same with Jake Diekman, of course, formerly of Philadelphia. Jake Diekman with Texas is very available. And Brad Ziegler, of course, 1,000 years old with Miami, available as well. Also, moving on to the outfielders, a couple interesting things. Adam Jones was taken off the board by himself, it appears, as he has decided he does not want to be traded in a no trade clause, something like that, in his contract. So he is not going to go anywhere, it looks like. But the Phillies in on, apparently, another interesting name yesterday, another rental player would be a help. I don't think that he has not been great this year. He's not someone who is the same type of guy that a lot of people might remember him as, but has been solid enough and certainly a great defensive player as well. But apparently, according to John Morosi yesterday, the Yankees, the Phillies, and the Indians have shown interest in that Andrew McCutchen as the Giants consider deals involving their pending free agents. That would be a really interesting buy there. I wouldn't give up much for it. Again, it's a rental, and McCutchen is well past his prime. But if they can get, you know, if they can get McCutchen for not a big investment, I think it's a why not type of move. I think McCutchen would add a lot from a veteran leadership perspective. He's a great dude. A really great defensive player still, wherever you stick him. I think the McCutchen thing is a nice thought. Again, provided the Giants are valuing the Andrew McCutchen that we've seen on the field for the last few years, not the superstar who was on the field prior to that. And then the biggest news yesterday, of course, real quick, the other two outfielders that we've kind of heard mentioned with them, Curtis Granderson's name has popped up a lot, and then Jose Bautista. I feel like we're stuck in 5 years ago with these names, 10 years ago even. But we'll see. I think McCutchen would be obviously the best name of those ones. Makes the most sense, but I could see Granderson, even though he's a lefty, doesn't make a ton of sense. And Bautista, who knows? All right. This was the biggest news, though, of yesterday. Is Mark Feinsand drops a bomb late in the night as the Phillies are toiling away in extra innings. He says, according to a source, and this is after earlier in the day, John Heyman had said that this would not happen. So Feinsand says, and look, I'm not saying Heyman was wrong at the time, but things are fluid and maybe things change. But Feinsand tweets, according to a source, the Nationals are making it known to other teams that Bryce Harper is indeed available. Whole buddy. All right, so we had talked about the potential of a Harper trade a fair amount before, but I didn't really think it was going to happen, but this is interesting. This is coming out here, and look, it could just be to gauge what's out there, and the Nationals don't ultimately end up making a move, but it's certainly the strongest indicator we've gotten yet that the Nationals could really consider trading Bryce Harper, and it would be a fascinating thing if they did, because it would be a very quick decision to bail on a older team for the most part. They've got some young talent, of course, with Soto and Turner and a few of those other guys, but an older team that's built for one last run here while you have Harper, and it would also be conceding that they know that Harper is not going to resign there, which I think a lot of people believe, but they would be saying, yep, not coming back. So it'd be really interesting. My personal take, at least from a Phillies perspective, because who cares otherwise, I would love to have Bryce Harper. I actually want them to go after him in the offseason more than Machado, which I think is probably a controversial take, but I think a minority take. But I don't think that trading for him now makes sense, unless the Nationals are just incredibly motivated to trade him, and all the other teams on the market have kind of done what they're going to do and not willing to give up too much more of their prospect stash or whatever. Who knows? Maybe the Phillies can swoop in with an offer less than they were going to give up for Machado. But I don't want to give up a ton of prospect talent at this point to get Harper. It would be great to get him in here. But I think that at this point, look, Harper's a Scott Morris client. He's going to test the market no matter what. He's not going to stay here because he loved it. It might not hurt his decision, but I think Harper is ultimately going to take the biggest contract offer. And the Phillies want him this offseason, I think John Middleton will go out and get him. So I think that in this case, look, it would be awesome if Bryce Harper comes in here for a stretch run. I think he is fun, and I love the fire he plays with. And, of course, he is so incredibly talented. I know he's not having his best season this year, but he still really brings a lot, and I think a new city, a new team could really reinvigorate him as well. But he is fun and he is fiery, so it's going to be really interesting to watch over the next few hours. If I had to bet, I would bet he doesn't get traded, and I certainly would bet that the Phillies don't trade for him, but it's going to be fun to see how it plays out. And again, ultimately, if the Phillies decide, hey, let's go for it and we don't have to give up as much as we think that this is worth, let's do it. But it could be fun, but we will see. Either way, we'll be back. We'll talk about whatever happens today. Again, I'm predicting at least one more move for the Phillies, potentially two, and they might be under the radar moves, but the Phillies are going to do something, I think. And then tomorrow we will talk about all of it. And then, of course, tonight, Jake Arrieta against Drew Pomeranz. I feel like I say this every time, Arrieta in a big start, but these are the types of games they brought him here for. Big games against big teams that matter. And he has a chance to go out and stop a four-game losing streak. We've talked about Nolan being the stopper. He did everything he could. It's time for Jake Arrieta to go out and be the stopper for the money that he's making and just go out and show us, remind us who he is and remind us where the great Jake Arrieta that we've seen at times flashes of this would be a big spot to see that dude come out. So fingers crossed on that one. But either way, hopefully Arrieta can give you a confident outing and give him a chance to win. Either way, we'll be back to talk about that and the trade deadline moves and all that good stuff tomorrow. So until then, keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.